Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight. We're live and direct. This is the 16th day of May, and we've got a great show lined up for you, so you stay tuned for the next hour where you will get more truth per hour than perhaps you'll get anywhere else. Sunday after Sunday at 8 p.m. on Live 5070 WWCR. Shepherd's Call. Call somebody and tell them we're on the air, and you'll enjoy the message, and you'll bless those that you invite to listen in. Praise Yahweh. Now, let's go to Matthew 10 and 1 for text tonight. So while you're turning there, remember this, that inside the sacred circle, there are things that are going on that the average person cannot see, hear, visualize, or comprehend. So, therefore, we're going to go into a meat subject tonight inside the sacred circle. Now, the circle consisted of 12 disciples, apostles they are later called, and the 13th, the Messiah, set among those, and then with the teaching of many other disciples set in. The 12 chosen were not the only entourage that followed him. Their group, probably, perhaps, what we would determine today is a cult-like following of the Messiah. He could do miracles, cast out devils, heal the sick, the blind. He could open eyes, things of this nature, raise the dead, and so on and so forth. So, naturally, he was a pretty popular figure of that day. And, therefore, the Jews feared him, and they needed to infiltrate the sacred circle. Now, how did they do that, and who they done it with is the real text embodiment of information that we'll get to tonight. Now, we're going to start in 10 and 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, and we're going to find out that he later names them apostles. But he called them disciples here, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases in the inner circle, like we said. Now, my question is, do you believe that all of these disciples had power to cast out devils? If you do, you're going to get in a quagmire of a dilemma, because if Satan casts out Satan, his kingdom is divided. Now, are all these 12 good disciples? That's what we want you to concentrate on tonight. We believe that there are two servants within the sacred circle. Now, the Bible says two false witnesses. We're going to talk about those two false witnesses and the aspect of what they did and how they did it and why they had reasons to do it. Remember, I said infiltrate the sacred circle. Get involved, in other words, by the Sanhedrin court paying money to special agents to work within the inside sacred circle of the Messiah and his comrades, praise Yahweh, those who had things in common with him. Now, let's get to the names. The first was Simon, who's called Peter. Remember that. Simon 1. Andrew, his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So Peter, Andrew, James, and John are four. Now we've got the four down, and let's see who the rest. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, so we got two James, and Lebeus, whose surname was Tobias, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Simon the Canaanite, and I want you to concentrate on Matthew 10:4. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And in Mark 14:20, we're going to find out who one of these is. Now remember, just because he identifies one don't mean that there wasn't more deceivers within the sacred circle. And he answered and said unto them, when they asked who it was that would betray him, because he revealed that one would, he said, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. One of the 12. Now, again, Luke 9:1, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. Now, my question to you, did he give this devil from the very beginning, Judas, power to heal diseases and cast out devils? That's the question. Now, Luke 22:3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. Luke 22:14, and when his hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles. Luke 22:30, that we may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you believe that Judas and Simon the Canaanite, do you believe that they were or are sitting on 12 thrones? Well, if you do, that means that the devil who was in Judas Iscariot and Simon the Canaanite, which remember the Bible says that the day will come that there will be no Canaanites left in the house of Israel. That would exclude Simon the Canaanite as being one of. So now we've narrowed it down back down to 10. Now we're going to find out that there are 10 tribes lost. Remember, they were moved from the land in 721 B.C. And also the house of Judah and the house of Benjamin was removed in 586. Along with the sons of Levite. So now we've got the 13 tribes back or scattered abroad. Now then, let us look at a few more issues here, laying a gestalt of thought of Matthew 10:5. These 12, the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in the flesh body, sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Notice again, we go down to John 6:67. Then said the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua, unto the 12, will you also go away? Remember, many of the disciples went away. Did Judas go away? No, he did not. Did Simon the Canaanite go away? No, he did not. Or was Simon actually supposed to be in here with the 12 apostles? Could it be that we have a mistaken statement and that Simon the Canaanite is no apostle to start with. He was never chosen to be one. because we're going to read some scriptures here. In John 6:71, remember we just read 6:70. He said, I have chosen you, and one of you is the devil. We're fixing to find out who it is. And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, Judas Iscariot was the son of Simon the Canaanite. For it is he that should betray him, being one of the 12. So then, I believe that's what's happened, that the translators have included Simon the Canaanite as an apostle rather than Simon the Canaanite as the father of Judas. Well, if that's the case, did he actually choose 12? That would have only been 11. Now, if he chose 12, as the scriptures indicated it, who was that other disciple that has now become a mysterious figure in the mix here? We're going to get into that. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is filled with mysteries. It is one thing for Almighty Eternal One to hide a matter, and it is another for His kings and His priests to search it out. Remember, the Bible says these things were written in parables and in mysteries. And these mysteries were kept a mystery or kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, John 12:4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. So in Matthew 10, when it lists Simon the Canaanite as one of the apostles, could it be that the translators, being confused, needing 12, listed Simon the Canaanite as one of the apostles, as I've said, as they included Judas Iscariot? But here it says that Judas is the son of Simon the Canaanite. Who should betray him? John 13:2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. John 13:26. The Messiah, Yahweh, sure in the flesh body, answered, said, it is he to whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped it, he gave the sop to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Well, let's go to Acts 1:13. Is the snake still in the house? We know that Judas committed suicide. Now, you need to write for my tapes that other disciple, to find out who this other mysterious disciple, I believe, is that actually was chosen to betray him, along with Judas Iscariot, who was a devil from the very beginning. So my conclusion there is, no, Judas did not have power to cast out the devils and heal the sick. Why? Because if the devil casts out devil, then his house is divided, and it cannot stand. Now, Acts 1:13, and when they were come in, they went to the upper room. Now, this is after Christ was crucified. They're tarrying in Jerusalem in the upper room, and these are they that abode: Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas, the brother of James. Now, we've got different names here. Something is not right. Something is wrong with the translations. Now, if the proper translations had been given, I believe that we would have come to that time when there would have only been 10 disciples, because now remember, we had 11 to start out with, excluding Simon as one of the apostles, which I think he could be excluded, justifiable by scriptures, and we've proven that. Then now we go to the upper room ministries, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. What was Simon, the Canaanite, still being listed in here? Now it's changed from Simon the Canaanite to Simon the Zealot. The one with a positive or boundless energy. A zealot. In other words, very zealous for the laws of Yahweh. Was he? Ladies and gentlemen, I again say that he wasn't supposed to be in here to start with. Now we've got 10 disciples, apostles, that are there in the upper room, not counting Simon the Canaanite. I don't believe he should be in there. And Judas Iscariot, who went out and hung himself after the trial of betrayal. We know that from scriptures, and I won't get into that because it's on my other tape, that other disciple. Now, let's look now, as they choose there in the book of Acts, they needed to choose one more disciple. Actually, they needed two more, I believe. But we're going to read where they chose one to take the place of Judas. And we're going to tell you who that 12th disciple is just in a moment. And when they returned to Jerusalem, this is Acts 1 and 12, they came into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas, the brother of James. Now remember, Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord and one mind with prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of the Messiah, and with his brethren. So we got quite a crowd. We got 120 here, to be exact, if that's proper count. I believe it's 119. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took the Messiah. For he was numbered with us and hath obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. What the scripture says, actually, that he hung himself, and probably the sun baked him, and he swelled until he burst, and his bowels ran out as he hung, and when they found him, he had already burst asunder. This was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is now called the proper tongue of Samdia, which is to say the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Messiah went in and out among us. So now we're going to look at some other men that were in the group, but not apostles, but were disciples. Beginning from the baptism of John, that's how long they'd been there, unto the same day that he was taken up from among us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And when they prayed, Yahweh, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show which of these two thou hast chosen, that we may take part of this ministry, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that it might be known, or that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, we know that the apostle Paul later was called an apostle. Now, we've either got 12 apostles or we've got 13 apostles. Well, the book of Revelation says that there's 12 gates to the city, and on the name of the 12 gates, 12 apostles. So now we got to figure out who the names of the 12 apostles. I'm certain, again, as I said, that the name of Judas or the name of Simon the Canaanite is not on the gates to the city. I'm sure of that. Now, let's go back and look in the inner circle. Remember, we're talking about what goes on inside the sacred circle. Now, let's go to John 18, verse 15. And Simon Peter followed the Messiah. Now, this is when he's been arrested. Remember, we're going to look at that other disciple. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in the palace of the high priest. Now, isn't that strange? Remember, Peter feared for his life. This other disciple had no fear whatsoever of being arrested, as did the others, because the Bible said when he was arrested, all the disciples fled. They all ran for their lives because they was worn out on Christ and any of his disciples. Here, Peter follows afar off so that he won't be detected. He stands outside in the courtyard warming by a fire. Then this other disciple, whoever he is, you think maybe that Judas and this other disciple, not Simon the Canaanite, I believe that Simon the Canaanite, as I've said, was the father of Judas, and they have included him in the list, and they've left out this other disciple. Is it purposely? I don't know. The Father himself can send you a strong delusion that you can believe a lie and be damned. It's one thing for the eternal to hide a thing, another for a king or a priest to search it out. So you make your own choices here. 19:27, and then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her, Mary, into his own home. Now, isn't that strange? Ladies and gentlemen, we know that when Christ was arrested, they all fled, with the exception of this disciple, who went right into the courtroom. Was he one of those that gave witness against Christ and his disciples? Well, of course he was. The Bible will tell you that. You say, oh, Pastor, buddy, where does it say that he gave witness against, and well, we're going to read it. Now, remember, we read 18, John 18, and Simon Peter followed the Messiah, and so did another disciple, and that disciple was known unto the high priest, and he went in with the Messiah into the palace of the high priest. Now, why, again, was he not afraid? Good question. But Peter stood at the door without. Here we're going to find a conspiracy, a rat, if you will, in the mill, an undetected deceiver, one that's gone without notice. Remember, we know who Judas is. Judas has already betrayed the Messiah into the hands of the Sanhedrin court for 30 pieces of silver. That's a priest's wages. Remember, you couldn't be a priest till you were 30 years of age. Here we go. Then went out that other disciple. After he went into the courtroom, this other disciple went out, and what did he do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is very clear what he done. He was known to the high priest, spake unto her, the guard, the keeper of the door, and they brought in Peter. Now, what did that disciple do to alert the Sanhedrin court that Peter, one of his disciples, the Christ disciple, was standing outside? Why would that disciple tell on Peter to have him questioned, hopefully to have him arrested, I believe, and they would have arrested him had Peter been man enough to acknowledge he was a disciple, but he lied vehemently and denied and cursed to get out of the accusation. Now here is one of the disciples turning state's evidence against Peter. Wonder what he'd done to Christ when he was in there. Well, the Bible says, remember under the law, it says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses is required before someone can be put to death. Therefore, one man's witness was not good enough. It took at least two living witnesses to condemn a man to die. And that's what the Sanhedrin was looking for. That's why they had two special agents inside the sacred circle. Now, I hope you understand this. Hope you see the mystery. Hope you understand the consequences that we've got a conspiracy here, undetected, for generations, and in the last days, the Father is making it available to you through the Shepherd's Call ministry. And when the chief priests and elders and all the council sought witness against the Messiah to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. Now, they brought many into the Sanhedrin court to put their witness against Christ. But one thing about their witnesses couldn't agree. So the ever who was the attorney for Christ, and he evidently had one because the Bible said he opened not his mouth when they would question him. He would not open his mouth, but the witnesses could not agree. But at last, this is Matthew 26:60, read it now. But at last came two false witnesses, and we confirmed that in Mark chapter 14. Let's go to Mark chapter 14 now to confirm that they arrest him. Now, here it is in 59. Let's start at 56. For many bear false witness against Christ, but their witnesses agreed not together. There it is. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, see, it says certain. There arose certain, which said, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. But at last, Matthew says, two false witnesses came and turned state evidence. And when the high priest asked Christ if he was indeed the Son of God, Christ referring and affirming that he was, then the high priest, after the Messiah spoke the name of Yahweh, was blasphemy, ripped his clothes, and said, what further need of witnesses? He was the third witness. And when Pilate asked them not to kill this man because he could find no fault, and they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And so it is today. Praise Yahweh. Now we're going to go to John 19 inside the sacred circle one more time to see just exactly who was at the crucifixion. Remember now, the apostles had all fled, but in John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple and the disciple and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Now, who would that be? Well, that had to be none other than Lazarus. Huh. You say, Pastor Buddy, are you sure? Well, according to the 12th chapter of the book of John, let's go there for just a moment. We'll back up to John. We're looking for the betrayer in the sacred circle. Remember, Judas was a devil, and he hung himself. But there's one that really didn't reveal himself. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, for that was a notable deed. When Christ coming in to the city, they were going to kill Christ and Lazarus. You reckon Lazarus turned state's evidence to save his hide? I believe he did. Now, we're going to see here. Now, 6 days before the Passover, this is John 12:1, 6 days before the Passover. That would have been on the 9th day of the month. Remember, he came into Jerusalem on the 10th day, the day they put up the lamb. This was the customary day that the lamb was put up. The very day that the lamb was to be put up for death, Christ rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one that sat at the table with him. Remember that. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him? Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, here we have, after that he had raised Lazarus, he's having dinner with Lazarus, Mary's anointing his feet for the, actually it's a precursor to his death, because that by reason many of the Jews went away and believed on the Messiah. And on the next day, which much people were coming out to the feast, when they heard that the Messiah was coming to Jerusalem, that would be the next day, the 10th day, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Now, let me show you exactly why that the scriptures are correct. That there was a deceiver in the crowd. Deceiver meaning that whoever the Messiah loved here was that other disciple that betrayed him, that went into the high priest and was known to the high priest. This would be Lazarus. Lazarus was threatened, I believe, with death. And to save his hide, he turned state's evidence against the one that really loved him. This is sad, but it shows the weakness of the flesh. And when the Messiah saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that wasn't John, it was Lazarus, unless Lazarus was a code name for John, and I believe it was, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Now everybody thinks that he was saying, Look up here at me, but that's not the case. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. So he was telling the woman to behold John, or Lazarus, the one he loved, And then to Lazarus, John, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Isn't that amazing? Here is that disciple that had no fear whatsoever of being caught as one of the disciples of the Messiah. Remember, the Sanhedrin court had a warrant out for anyone that was found to be a disciple of Christ. Here, Lazarus, or John, the beloved disciple, ever which way you want to call him, by either name, I believe it's appropriate. Here he's standing there openly, without fear, of being caught as one of the disciples. Now, evidently he had cut a deal with the Sanhedrin court when he went in and indicted Peter and had him arrested, interrogated, and then Peter denied that he knew the Messiah and was turned loose. That's the only way he escaped. But he was turned in by John, or by Lazarus here, the one he loved, that disciple whom he loved, who had absolutely no fear of being arrested, interrogated, or imprisoned for the fact that he was a disciple of the Messiah. Evidently, he was known to the Sanhedrin court. He was in a friendship basis, and I believe that he had conspired to put his witness against Christ, and therefore he had absolutely no fear of standing there in the presence of all of the officials of the court who would have arrested him had he not been part of the conspiracy to kill Christ. Now we're getting into some of the mysterious interworkings of the sacred circle. I just hope and trust that the Father can give you a discerning spirit that you can search out these things to know that it's true. Here, John Lazarus, or Lazarus John, and Mary are being told that they belong to each other. And that disciple took Mary into her home from that hour on. Now we're going to go over to the 21st chapter of the book of John, and we're going to read what happened after that. Now, this is the 18th verse. After Christ is questioning Peter, Simon, in the 17th verse, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He started out with lambs. Then he got up to sheep, asking Peter to feed him after his returning back to the heaven. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple. This is the 20th verse of the 21st chapter of John. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, this would be Lazarus, which also leaned on his breast at supper, Lazarus, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to the Messiah, Lord, what will this man do? Had to be referring to John, that disciple he loved, or Lazarus, whichever one you want to use. And the Messiah answered and said unto Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. And then went this saying abroad that among the brethren, that disciple, wonder why I don't mention his name. It always codes it and says that disciple that Jesus loved. Isn't that strange? That disciple was close to the breast of the Messiah, and the Messiah had true love, deep love for this disciple, and this disciple betrayed him at the last hour. Then, after his resurrection, he's told that that disciple will tarry on earth until he returns. Now, I don't know where you've heard all the mysteries of John, the beloved disciple, or Lazarus, the beloved disciple, which was his true name, that he's been spotted around the world in past generations. Is it possible that this disciple, along with Mary, could form a Catholic church contrary to true teaching, steeped in showmanship, fleshly realm, and paganism, as this mother church harlot is, that it was formed by John and Mary, and now Mary's become the central figure of the worship of the Godhead of the Catholic Church, Holy Mother, Holy Mary, and the communion blessing of the sacred circle? Lazarus would have known the integral workings and the details of how to set up and maintain and run a church, but run it on a flesh showmanship level, not a spiritual kingdom within, as Christ told his disciples. The kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation. Well, the Catholic Church has long been the voice and the building and the major church on the earth. John, in Revelation, called her the great whore. Beautiful to look at, but a cup filled with abominations. And these are some of the abominations of how that the Catholic Church was started by this beloved disciple whom Christ loved. And here he's told Peter turned and seeing that disciple that would betray him, what will this man do? And he said, what is it to you if he tarries till I come? Then that saying went abroad that that disciple would not die, but Christ didn't say he wouldn't die, but what is it if he tarries till I come? Now remember, to really define nature and live longer than nature would give you the limits, because there is a limit to nature's this physical flesh body. Lazarus had already faced death once and was resurrected. So therefore, he could qualify, if so be the Messiah determined it to be so, and speak the word, that he wouldn't have to die until he returned. Amazing, isn't it? Well, let's trail that serpent in the inner circle just a little bit deeper into the mystery element. We're going now into the book of Acts, and we're going to go over to the, well, let's go over to, we could go probably to the 12th chapter of the book of Acts here. Now, about that time, this is Acts 12 and 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. They were still observing, this is after Christ ascended into heaven, the days of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover of Luke 22:1. Now, when they had apprehended Peter, they put him in prison. And remember, the angels came and loosed his chains, and he escaped from the prison. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Mary, the mother of John. Mary, the mother of John. Acts 12:12. Mary, the mother of John. Remember Acts 19, where Christ determined that John and Mary could be mother and son, whose surname was Mark. Now, this John is John Mark. John with a mark. Now, why would they call him John Mark? They marked this disciple because this is the disciple, I believe, that took Mary into his own home, that had no fear of the Sanhedrin court, although he was a disciple of Christ, that turned state's evidence against Christ and against Peter at the trial in the 19th chapter. And the mystery of the inner sacred circle deepens. Here we are in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Now we're going to see exactly what this really means about how that things are determined by those who were not even present when this disciple was named by Christ in John 21. Here is Paul and Barnabas. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of Yahweh and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Yeah, isn't that strange here? John, whose surname was Mark, is a disciple that Barnabas wanted to take on the evangelistic tour, but Paul thought it not good to take John Mark with them. Isn't that strange? Here's Paul, an apostle chosen and gifted with a spirit of discernment, and he just, something about John Mark he didn't like. And you say, well, it was probably a minor thing or personality clash or something of that nature. It had to be deeper than that, ladies and gentlemen, because we're talking about going to the spiritual work. John Mark was willing to go. Barnabas was certainly willing and honored to take him. Paul thought it not good. Why? What did Paul know that Barnabas, just a regular deacon, but Paul was an apostle with the discernment and the skills and the gifts to recognize evil when he ran into it. Here, John with the mark, Paul is not pleased with him. Paul is very displeased. Paul determines that John Mark will not go with him. Barnabas is determined that he will. And there arose a contention between Paul and Barnabas. Now, and the contention was so sharp, verse 39 of Acts 15, it was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Mark and John sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And they went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. And so the division was over John Mark. You reckon again that Paul knew something that Barnabas didn't know? I believe so. And so then, the mystery and the intrigue of the sacred circle deepens with that other disciple who Christ loved and yet was betrayed by the closest loved disciple in the group. It wasn't Peter, it wasn't John, it wasn't James, it wasn't Thomas. It was that other disciple that laid on his breast, the one that Jesus loved. It's mentioned again three times in the Bible. Let us give you that. John chapter 21, verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded himself with his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea and swam to the shore to greet and to meet his master. Here, that disciple that Jesus loved is identified as the one that Peter turned and saw and asked, when he asked who would betray him. Remember, he's already been betrayed once by Judas, but they were two betrayers in the sacred circle, and that's why they were teaching on these great mysteries, to give you insight to deeper revelations that you may know who formed the first Antichrist church. They actually formed a Christ flesh church. Now let me say that again. John and Mary, I believe, formed a Christ in the flesh church, carnal worship of divers washings and things of this nature, and bread and eutychrists and things of this nature that the Catholic Church is noted for, and mother worship in the Godhead. This is displeasing to Christ because it's called a harlot, a whore. And so she became whorish, the Catholic Church, in its doctrines and dogmas, in opposition to the true church, which was the underground church of the apostles. And this church was formed by John Mark. After he betrayed the disciple, he began to live for hundreds of years, and possibly still living inside the Vatican, where he's protected and shielded, and where he gives the commands through his great wealth of knowledge collected through many generations of times, still instructing the church. This is the evil, corrupt church that would deceive the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, you've now got the thrust of the enter the sacred circle of deception. Not only was there good there in that circle, there was evil. Now, if you go back to Numbers chapter 2, and in the following part 2 and in part 3 and 4, I'm going to go into how to build a sacred circle, what the sacred circle is for, why it's been neglected and misused. And who did this? The Catholic Church. They started a brick and mortar and stained glass window exchange with precious arts and statues and image worshiping and defiance of the true Sabbath. Change times and laws. These are the corruptions of the fornication of the great whore that deceived even the very elect. And that's why it's important to know the mysteries of the inside of the sacred circle. Now, if you'd like more information, you can simply write or call Pastor Buddy at any time. My mailing address is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, we hope that you will stay tuned next Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR 5070, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, for the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. I'll bring you part 2 of Inside the Sacred Circle. Now, there we're going into the laws of cursings and blessings. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we're going to look into the great mystery of the formation of a sacred circle with 12 stones in a salt-packed covenant. Now, I know this is going to sound witchy, but remember, the Bible says that Yahweh chose the foolish things to confound the wise, and as the heaven is higher than earth, so is his ways above our ways. And so if he chose the foolish things, don't you think it would look much better for you to put on a nice suit here in the 21st century? That you could put on a nice suit and you could walk down the aisles of some big, famous, landmark church here in America or in Europe or in Russia or nations abroad that have the stained glass and have the priests in their garb, their white robes, and the Pope and with his crown, if you were at the Vatican, et cetera, during Mass or some of their holy sanctified days, Ishtar, the pagan goddess of Ishtar, and Talmuz, the mother-son relationship, as it's noted throughout mythology and the Greek orientation of the gods of the Romans, Moon Day and Thor's Day and Zeus and Talmuz and Sumerius and things of this nature that people today across the earth have converted from the pagans, borrowed and stole from the pagans, incorporated into Christian worship to give them a form and a fashion, but to deny the power or the simplicity of Christ. Well, that's what this great mystery is all about. So, next Sunday night, on part two of Inside the Sacred Circle, you don't want to miss it. You can order the whole series. There'll be four tapes in this exciting series of Inside the Sacred Circle, where I will reveal not only the mystery of the Sacred Circle and the deception of the Sacred Circle, but how to remove the evil of the circle and to address it and to align it and to dress it into the type of altar of worship that the Father requires, with the sacred circle of salt and fire, which is a symbol of the true blood and the house of Israel of Jacob. You are the salt of the earth. And so then, blessings be to you until I see you next Sunday night on Worldwide Christian Talk Radio, WWCR 5070. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Like I say, if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, or you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. And until then, we're going to say, praise the Heavenly Father and let Him be glorified above all things.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.